all across America and around the world. This is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your host for today's program, Dale Thronberry.
And good afternoon and welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry and I have the privilege of being your host today on Veterans Radio. And we've got a great program for you. And I want to just mention what's going to be going on. We're going to be talking about Operation Never Forgotten, for one thing. We're going to be talking with John Kinzinger, who is one of the founders of Operation Never Forgotten. He's going to be on our program after our first break. We're going to be talking about one of the programs that they've come up with, where they are helping veterans with retreats and so forth. And I think it's going to be really exciting, so I'm encouraging you all to listen in. And if you do have some questions, you can feel free to give us a call here on Veterans Radio. Locally in southeastern Michigan, the number is 734-822-1600. 734-822-1600. And if you are calling from way far away, you can call us toll free at 844-838-1600. And you can follow us on Facebook and all kinds of different things that you can follow us along with. And in the second half of the program, we've got two representatives from the Ann Arbor Veterans VA healthcare system, and they're going to be talking about the programs that are going on at the Ann Arbor VA, and I'm excited to talk to them about that too. If you've got something that you want to add to the conversation, as I mentioned, you can give us a call, and we're excited to have you listening in to Veterans Radio today. Right now, on our line is a gentleman named John Rudolph. And, John, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Hey, Dale. Thanks for having us on.
Thank you very much. Now, I understand that you've got a program called Operation Care Package. Is that true?
That is true. Four local businesses here in Ann Arbor got collaborating, got together with the help of Operation Care Package to put a little bit of home care for the troops that are at large.
Okay, and what is it that you're going to do?
So each location is going to have a drop bin, and then we encourage people to come visit these local businesses and bring what every soldier probably wants and needs, but they always can't get a hold of, and things such as beef jerky, energy bars, Tylenol, sunflower seeds, something that they can't get readily available while they're out serving our country.
Okay, and you're going to have these drop boxes in which locations are they going to be, John?
So the locations are Ann Arbor Carpets, Deluxe Drapery, Big George's Home Appliance, and Anderson Paint Company. And it runs from the beginning of March, so we start March 1st and all the way to March 31st, trying to collect as many goods. And there's a whole list of items that the soldiers are in need of at OperationCarePackages.org.
Okay.
Or better, just come into the store and see. We have letters and pictures from the kids that we're sending over there also.
Oh, that's terrific. So your website is OperationCarePackage.org, correct?
Correct.
And if they need more information, they can give you a call, or who do they give a call?
Well, they should call Ann Arbor Carpets. This is Jenny Mrozowski's promo running,
okay.
But she was unavailable today. I'm here helping out. And the number is 734-769. 1710, and that's Ann Arbor Carpets.
Ann Arbor Carpets. So, everybody, start gathering up all those things. I see that the Girl Scouts are on the corner of every block, it seems, right now. So
that
Girl
is
Scouts,
one of the items they like.
I see that. In fact, it's highlighted in the list of things that they need to bring with you. So we're looking at anything, really, that they would enjoy having, and you can do this. Drop these things off at Ann Arbor Carpet, Deluxe Drapery over on Stadium, Big George's, or Grand Jorge's, as we call it, and local people, and Anderson Paint Company. Is that going to be at both locations for Anderson?
It is, one on Washington Avenue and on Stadium Boulevard.
Okay, this is terrific. This is going to start on March 1st, which is next Sunday. So make sure, save up all of your goodies and things that you want to send to our veterans overseas and drop these off and help out OperationCarePackage.org. Thank you very much, John.
Thanks, Dale. Appreciate it. God bless the troops, and thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, that's kind of exciting. I'm anxious to go over there. I haven't been to inside of Big George's in a long time, and Deluxe Drapery and Anderson Paint and Ann Arbor Carpet. Got a lot of things that we can drop off and help these men and women out with because they need this stuff. So we're going to be taking a break right now. We're going to be back in just a moment with John Kinzinger and Operation Never Forgotten. You're listening to Veterans Radio.
If you have a VA claim denied by the Board of Veterans Appeals, contact Legal Help for Veterans at 1-800-693-4800. They're experts in handling cases before the U.S. Court of Appeals for Veterans Claims. Their number again, 1-800-693-4800.
We're back on Veterans Radio. We're having a little technical difficulty. Perhaps we can figure out how to get somebody's headphones so it is working. But as I mentioned, we're back on Veterans Radio. It looks like a science experiment in here. Sorry, folks. We're all trying to. We've got three people in the studio, and we're trying to make sure that everybody can hear exactly what is going on or can hear it. I think we've got it solved. All right. Good. That's what it takes, right? So joining me right now in the studio is a good friend of Veterans Radio and a good friend of mine is John Kinzinger. And John, welcome back to Veterans Radio.
Good afternoon, Dale. I'm very glad to be back on Veterans Radio. It's been a while, but we've been doing things together from school talks to you name it for many years.
That's very true. John is a veterans veteran. I can't even tell you all of the things that he's involved in. It would take us the entire hour just to list the events that he's been helping plan, the fundraising that he gets involved with, and the different organizations. I know he's actively involved in the VVA 310, Vietnam Veterans of America 310 here in Ann Arbor, the American Legion, I don't know if you're American Legion, probably, VFW, anything else I can think of, and your biggest adventure right now, it seems to be Operation Never Forgotten. Can you tell me a little bit about what this organization does, John?
Dale, we are an all volunteer nonprofit. We began in 2007. We saw the need to bridge between the civilian world and the military world. We being Linda Kelly, who was our president, she had 30 years in advertising and as a Photoshop wizard and artist, and we created billboard images. They're just wonderful images that have been up all around the country, reminding people that we have people serving. We have had probably around 100 Gold Star families come to us to create an image of their loved one that we've put up in an area closest to their home. We've had just a number of Christmas themes, and that right now what we focus on are patriotic holidays coming up about 6 weeks in advance. We'll create images. We send them out to all the big companies, Lamar, Clear Channel, Adams, all across the country, and when they have unpaid customers or they have a blank spot, they'll plug ours in. So we've gotten feedback from all around the country about how great our images are. About a year ago.
I would like to point out to people that they are incredible images, and that especially if you're coming into Detroit Metro, when there's one there seemingly all the time, which is great. And I have seen them on highways in at least four or five states I can think of. And I go, oh, I know the guy that put those up there, and they are terrific, and they do help us remember, you know, with less than 1% of the population involved in the military today, we got to keep these images of these men and women in front of these people, so that they know that there are people out there willing to pay those prices, that ultimate price that many of them are doing, to protect us.
Absolutely, yeah, we are seen in subways, food markets out in the Rocky Mountain area. As you said, airports, wherever we can put an image up for free, because we're a very, very small organization with a very low budget, we are making an impact, we feel, across the nation. About a year ago, post-traumatic stress and suicide became a concern for veterans. In the 25 to 30 years I've been involved with veterans, I've been involved with that suicide topic, especially with Vietnam veterans, and now it's recurring now with our Operation Enduring Freedom, Operation Iraqi Freedom Warriors, and we felt we had to do something. And whatever we do, if we can save one person, one marriage, we're out there trying to do that in our own special way. We worked through the VA, the mental health department, who are already treating warriors for post-traumatic stress, and they were able to connect us with several warriors who volunteered to attend our workshops that we put together in November at Weber's Inn here in Ann Arbor. The workshops turned out to be very successful. The workshops complemented what the VA does. We talked about nutrition. We talked about family counseling, massage therapy, and things like that that can help the warrior. And our program goes a little bit farther than I believe the VA does, in that we bring in the caregivers as well as the family into the workshops, which it's a group. The family is a group. When the warrior has an episode, it happens right now, and the person who is right there with them is their caregiver. It could be a mother, could be a wife, but they need also to be trained, or they have to be told what to expect, how to react. I think the how to react thing is what I've seen is the worst thing, because they want to help. But the last thing the warrior needs right now is anybody pawing on him, wanting to know what they can do. All they need is time to process it themselves. And the caregiver has really fallen in line and love what we're doing, and it's opened their eyes to many things. And I wish that our VA, and I hope they're going to be talking about it later, is looking at getting the caregivers more involved in this program, because they're key to the way our veterans and warriors go forward in their journey in life.
Mm-hmm. Well, with your Operation Never Forgotten, that was the main thing that you started doing, as you mentioned,
yes,
about 7 or 8 years ago. And now you've started this program entitled Ahead of Healing.
Yes.
And this is the seminars and the workshops that you're talking about. You put on one out in Oregon, I read about.
Yes.
And you put on one in Ann Arbor. And, in fact, I think we've got one of your program directors on the line right now.
I believe Mike is with us.
Mike,
yes.
Mills? Mike, you on the line? Hello.
Hello,
Mike. Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep, I got you now. Thanks very much, Mike, for being on Veterans Radio.
Hey, not a problem.
So tell me a little bit about this program, Ahead of Healing. John just kind of started talking about the workshop that you're holding. How did you get involved in this?
Well, I actually got involved. I went to two of the retreats in Bozeman, Montana, that Operation Never Forgotten did. And I went to the first one as a participant, the second one as a mentor and a speaker, and then the opportunity came out for Heads of Healing, and they asked if I'd be the director, and that's where I'm at.
Well, tell our audience a little bit about your background, because you bring a little experience yourself to this.
Yes. I had 21 years in the military, went to Iraq with 20, got injured, well, got blown up, sustained third-degree burns to 31% of my body, along with amputation to part of my left hand. I have pins in places that, and then I was medicaled out of the military with my injuries. And I do have PTSD and a TBI.
Well, it sounds like you probably have benefited from your own workshops.
Yes, I have.
And your wife is involved with this also, isn't she?
Yes, she is. She's the family care coordinator.
Okay. I'm going to bring on a participant in your most recent program at Weber's here, and that is Stephanie. And Stephanie Fairbottom. And Stephanie, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Well, thank you for having me.
I met you the other day at the Operation Never Forgotten fundraiser, and I just found that your story was kind of fascinating. Can you tell us how you got involved in the Ahead of Healing?
Yeah, my husband is a veteran. He was wounded in 2012. I'm his caregiver. We got the word about the Operation Never Forgotten Ahead of Healing workshop in Ann Arbor through our AWT Wounded Warrior Advocate. We signed up. It was something that we needed at the time. We were kind of not in a good place. We attended the meeting, the event, and it was phenomenal. And I have been involved with everybody who attended and John pretty much ever since then.
And what do you think that they did that really helped you guys out?
Well, like John said, the the veterans need the education and the support and the treatment for their PTSD, but so don't the spouses and the parents and the children who are interacting with them on a daily basis, who are there when they have the episode. They need to know how to act and react when the episode occurs. And that's something that the Head of Healing and ONF offer to the caregivers and the parents and even the children at their events. It's very family oriented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're very welcoming to the children, to the spouses, to the mothers. It's definitely great.
I'd always thought that there should be some sort of program for the spouses, girlfriends, moms, dads of anything of these veterans that come home. I was thinking about it the other day. You know, when I came home, my mother had already gone through World War II with my dad, and then 20 years later, I go running off to fight in another war, and you know, she's left at home, and then you know, not only did she have to deal with whatever my dad's issues were, but when I got home, then she had to deal with my issues and try to figure out how that she could support me and, you know what to do. And it sounds as though the Head of Healing does all this for you, or not all of it, obviously, but it does kind of give you some direction.
Yeah, I think the mentors and the peer support that they offer are a great, great resource. And, you know, spouses are their best references to resources. They know, they've been there, they learn as they go, and it's great that they can meet up with each other in an event like this and share that information with each other.
Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the most beneficial thing, is that they're, you know, a lot of times people will tell us things, and if they're related to us, we're not going to listen to them. And it takes an outside source, and you go, oh, and, you know, and the little light goes on and says, this is something I should be doing, and somebody had told us to do it three or four times before that. John, have you found that to be the case?
Dale, what Stephanie is defining it, in my observation and watching the group rather grow together, they have developed friendships that they're now supporting each other too. They have, what we've done is we've taken our mentors group, and Mike, our director there, has split up the 12 warriors that we worked with and caregivers, and each of us mentors has been assigned a couple of them, so that we are there to contact them on a regular basis just to see how they're doing, talk about the next program we're going to, you know, put together, just so that, I don't want to call it a lifeline, but we are an information line and a contact back to some reality that is it's a good point that they can refer back to in that good point when they are beginning to have an episode or whatever. It's a connection to reality rather than off where they are in the trouble zone that they're in.
Well, I agree. We're talking with John Kinzinger. He's one of the founders of Operation Never Forgotten, and we're talking about a new program that they're sponsoring called Ahead of Healing. You can get in on a conversation if you'd like to. You can give us a call here at Veterans Radio at 734-822-1600. That's 734-822-1600. I want to go back to you, Mike, for just a second. You got involved in the program, and now are you you're a mentor also?
Yes, I am.
And what, without getting personal about the person that you're working with, is what age group are you working with now? Are these all Iraq, Afghanistan veterans?
Yes. Yes. The one I have is, I believe he just turned 30.
Mm-hmm.
He went to Iraq when he was 19 or 20, got injured. Turned 21 down in San Antonio, Texas, and so he's young.
He's young, and it sounds as though that some of these men and women probably sought help elsewhere for a while, or didn't do anything for a while, and then suddenly it came to the realization that maybe they do need some help. Does that sound correct?
A lot of them don't seek the help. Until it's too late.
Right. What, you know, John, I, knowing how active you have been in the Vietnam Veterans of America, we, you know, our motto is that never again will one generation of veterans ignore another. And, you know, we've kind of gone out of our way, which is it's a great feeling. I can tell you folks out there that we are very proud of what we've been able to accomplish with helping these young men and women when they do come back. And I think it's probably been a very much of a healing process for us as well.
Amen, Dale. That's very true. ONF is, we've been dealing with post 9/11, you know, in our webs, in our billboards and all the messages we've been using have all been post 9/11. And we've carried that on into our head of healing. It's post 9/11. Mm-hmm. Yes, we know that there are older veterans who could use the help too, but we can't take care of everyone. And we have focused because we are Vietnam veterans and we're not going to let another generation be alone and unappreciated. We have focused on post 9/11 being the mm-hmm. Iraq and Afghan warriors. And Mike is a dear friend. We had Mike and Suki in here. We flew them in from Minneapolis where he lives, and they attended our Weber's Inn program, mm-hmm. and they are planning to start one. It's the end of April. They're going to have their own program beginning up in Minneapolis area. And it is a long-term vision, and we'd love to see this program develop in other parts of the country. Mike mentioned the first two, we call them SAS programs, out in Big Sky, Montana. We made contact with some, how do I want to say it, leader types, and we identified Mike as one of them, and that's why we brought him on as a mentor the second trip out in mm-hmm. Big Sky, and that's why we feel comfortable in making him the director of our program.
I think the things that Operation Never Forgotten is doing is amazing, and you were talking earlier in our break room when about the fishing tournaments that are being set up around the country, and I know my friend that passed away last summer, his wife wants to do something like that in New Jersey, deep sea fishing, and so I'm going to be talking to you about that later on, how do we organize something like that. Stephanie, I didn't want to leave you out of the conversation either. How are things going with you and your husband now?
Well, we're separated right now. We're trying to take it one day at a time. He's getting some help outside mm-hmm. of what I can offer him, so that's a plus.
Well, I'm hoping and praying that things will work out for you. It's always difficult, and I try to think of all of the men and women that I've known that have had to go through these trial separations just before, so they can get their own heads on straight before they can come back and fix something that, you know, that they don't want to break.
And I think things. You know, to go along with that, you know, Stephanie is a caregiver, and we feel that whether her husband is able to attend with her or not, you know, she's one of the people that we need to help and support.
Mm-hmm.
And if they eventually bring their marriage back together, that's wonderful. We've had other marriages that we have actually solidified, I believe, in the ONF mm-hmm. events that we've already put together. And we've got some strong couples who are now taking a lead. This group that we started with seems to be taking on a life of its own. And as an observer and watching over the group, it's very rewarding.
It's always rewarding when you see somebody take the proverbial ball that you give them and run with it.
Yes.
And, you know, they're out there, they can think, oh, I can do this with somebody else, and we can help more people as we go along.
Yeah.
I want to remind our audience that we were talking with John Kinzinger, one of the founders of Operation Never Forgotten, or ONF, and you can go to their website, and they've got a wonderful group of information, or a batch of information, I guess you could say, and also to go to aheadofhealing.org, which is got a lot of information about their PTSD programs, the report, retreat schedule, what's going on, where you can sign up, more information about ONF, some of the speakers that have been involved, how you can volunteer to help. So I'm encouraging everyone out there that if you know, or if you just want to become educated yourself about some of the programs that are available to veterans, that you go to the ONF website or you go to aheadofhealing.org. Because when we come back in the second half of the program, we're going to be talking to some representatives from the Ann Arbor VA system. We're going to be talking about some of the options that are available here locally. So if you've got some veterans nearby, that if you're listening to us in the Ann Arbor area, make sure that they tune in or you write down all the information that we give you so that you can do that. And we've got a couple of minutes left, but I just wanted to make sure I got that out for you. Mike, is there anything else that you would like to say to our audience right now?
Well, I don't want to take away what the VA does for the veterans. I myself chair done at the VA, so I don't want to take nothing away from that. We're just the entity to help the veteran and the caregivers further. And when I say caregivers, that's mother, brother, you know, whoever, to include their kids. Because my kids have been tremendous in helping my wife take care of me. So, like I said, I don't want to take anything away from the VA.
Well, I think if we have the more options we have available and the more possibilities, I think the better off we are, because not everything works for one person. And if this is one way that we can help out, we can help out. We were talking earlier about a guy I know from World War II gives seminars on transcendental meditation, and he's helped an awful lot of people too. So I want to thank you, John. Don't go away. I want you to stick around while we're there. But Mike, I want to thank you very much for being on Veterans Radio. And Stephanie, I wish you the best of luck. And keep helping out these other men and women that are coming back.
Thank you.
We will.
Okay. Thank you very
much.
Bless
you, guys.
All right. We were talking about Operation Never Forgotten and headofhealing.org. This is something that you need to go check out, folks. I think you're going to find a lot of great information there. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment, and you're going to enjoy our music as we fade out for a second. We'll be back after the news.
Conway Truckload honors the service of American military men and women with an apprenticeship program that allows veterans to use the GI Bill to supplement their income during their first year driving, as well as tuition reimbursement when they begin. Conway Truckload wants to continue the tradition of service right here at home. To learn more, call 866-WORK-FOR-US or visit online true2blue.com/military.
We're back on Veterans Radio, and we've got a caller. Hey, we got a caller. And on the line right now is, it says it's Pat. So, Pat, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Hey, I know all you guys over there. And my wife was excited to call me and tell me that John Kinzinger was going to be on your show.
All right, now he owes you
$5. John got me involved in every possible way I could with veterans. And I just have to say that it opened the doors for me to really increase the quality in my own life as a veteran and to find out ways that anybody at any level with any amount of time can help a veteran. So,
amen, Pat.
I just have my hats are off to all you guys out there who can do this, that have time and energy to go with it. I mean, yeah, but honestly, you know, just last week, my car broke down. I called a person I know. She happens to be a veteran. She said, come and get one. And she gave me a car, and she said, when you can get the money together, we'll talk about it later. But for now, we got to get you back on the road and back on your feet and back to work. So the veterans community should be supported, and, you know, I'm proud to be a part of that.
Well, thank you very much, Pat.
Thanks, Pat.
Stay tuned.
God bless you guys.
Bless you, man.
Thank you very much, man. All right, folks, we are back here on Veterans Radio, and we're moving on from the Operation Never Forgotten and what has been going on with their organization and Ahead of Healing with workshops that they're putting on. And joining us right now in the studio, I have got Aaron Smith, who is a PhD, chief of the PTSD clinic team, psychologist, and I've got Mary Grace Laver, who is a licensed master of social work. Sorry, I'm butchering this, I know that. But she's also a suicide prevention team supervisor and mental health social work coordinator. So I want to welcome both of these women to Veterans Radio, and I'm going to start with Erin. Welcome.
Thank you, Dale.
Come on up to the microphone a little bit more
so
that we can hear you. And tell me what it is that you do at the VA right now.
So now I am the chief of the PTSD clinic. So I oversee how our clinic runs and helps. I help set up the flow of patients through the clinic and oversee that kind of thing. But I also treat veterans. I work with them from when they come into the clinic, when they're first evaluated, mm-hmm. and take them through treatment and help them meet their treatment goals, and then help them get integrated into community resources and their lives outside of the VA.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the things that I do.
Okay, we're going to talk more about that.
Sure.
Erin is an Army brat.
I am.
I found out her veterans and her family go back to the Civil War. So.
No, that's Mary Grace.
Oh, that's
mine go back to the Civil War, too. I have a grandfather who lost a leg, or great-great-great-great-grandfather.
Yeah, I'm always fascinated with how these people become involved in working with veterans and what they're doing. Mary Grace, tell me a little bit about what you do at the Ann Arbor VA.
Well, I think you listed off a couple of things. I do a handful of different things. So I work, I manage the Returning Veteran Program in mental health. I also manage our college outreach program, which is designed and geared towards getting veterans kind of where they are. We know that they're using their GI Bill, and so we have a program geared towards having somebody out at different colleges and universities to try to engage them in VA care and the VA system and help them.
Do you work with Bridget?
Brittany Powers, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So I manage the program called Vital that she is the case manager in. Yep.
Okay.
And then I also manage the suicide prevention program, which you had mentioned, and I work in the PTSD clinic with Dr. Smith as well.
All right. So, we've heard about what Operation Never Forgotten is doing with their outside mentoring and the idea of setting up these workshops. I'd like to know, especially for our audience here in southeastern Michigan or around the country, and I'll talk to you first, Doctor.
Sure.
What does the VA do mostly to help veterans? How do you get them in?
Well, how we get them in and how we help them, we can talk about those in two different ways. I think Mary Grace can really speak to trying to do a lot of outreach to the veterans that are specifically from OIF, mm-hmm. OAF, OND, and their time period and kind of bringing them in to the VA. I'll speak a little bit to what we do when we get them into the VA.
Okay.
When they come into the mental health service, so the mental health service provides for a broad range of mental health diagnoses and different problems that veterans might be having with mental health symptoms or relational problems or things like that. They are sometimes referred from primary care doctors. They sometimes self-refer. They're sometimes referred from vet centers or from other VAs, and they come in and we have them go to the clinic that seems it's most likely to help them from what they're presenting, what they're saying. So they might end up in the mental health clinic, or they might end up in one of our other specialty programs, like MICM or a substance abuse program. If substance use is an issue that they would like to work on, they might be referred there. For PTSD, we have them, when they're referred to our clinic, we meet with them and talk with them about what symptoms they're having, what problems they're having in their lives, when they notice those problems starting. We talk about a lot of different symptoms, because sometimes PTSD kind of exists with other symptoms like depression. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when people experience trauma, they might develop a different mental health problem than PTSD. They might become very depressed, or they might become very anxious. And so it's important to me as someone who's providing care to a veteran to know what's going on so I can use the best tool to help them get to the place that they want to get. So I also spend a lot of time talking with veterans about what their goals are for treatment. And they might tell me things like reducing the number of nightmares they have, or they might want to have a better relationship with their children or their grandchildren, or they might want to have a better relationship with their spouse. They might want to be less angry. And so as we're talking about that and I'm listening to the things that are going on, I'm in my mind going through the options that we have, and I kind of go through that with the veteran, working mm-hmm. with them to choose the treatment that they might want to do, targeting whatever they decide is the thing that they want to target. If they have PTSD and they want to target those PTSD symptoms, I usually talk with them about the treatments that we offer at the Ann Arbor VA. And being conscientious and very committed myself to serving veterans, I want to make sure the treatments that we're offering have the strongest evidence behind them. And so the VA as a whole and our clinic looks to provide the treatments that have been the best researched for PTSD. Mm-hmm. And right now, those are prolonged exposure therapy and cognitive processing therapy.
Okay, can you explain a little bit what either one of those or both are?
I can. I can tell you all about them. Let me first go through prolonged exposure therapy. It might help a little bit for me actually to talk about PTSD and the symptoms of PTSD.
Okay.
So PTSD is a grouping of symptoms that someone might have after they experience something extremely traumatic, like combat, like a sudden car accident where someone's injured or they're injured, rape, a natural disaster, childhood abuse or childhood sexual abuse. So after people experience those types of trauma, they may or may not develop these symptoms. Re-experiencing the trauma, which means they relive it. And you and I were talking about earlier that it's very different than remembering. It feels like it's happening again when someone relives a trauma, and that would be nightmares or being really distressed by something that triggers them to think about the memory. So, for example, if the memory is an event that involves an IED blast on the side of the road, they might become very distressed when they're driving down the road and there's trash or a dead animal that reminds them of the IED, or when they're listening to a song that might have been playing when the IED went off. So re-experiencing avoidance, and this is a kicker. Avoidance works in the short run, but in the long run it actually develops more problems in someone's life. So they might start to avoid thoughts or feelings about the events. They might avoid people that remind them of the event or places, crowds, because they make them feel anxious. Yeah, things like that, right?
You're going down my checklist here. It's working just fine.
And then they might experience emotional numbing. So I describe emotions as it would be really nice if they were hot and cold, good and bad emotions, and you could turn off the bad emotions and keep the good ones going. But you can't, and you end up turning off both good and bad emotion sometimes when PTSD is present. In order to try and avoid the bad feelings, you turn off all of the emotion. And so you end up feeling emotionally numb or distant from people. And when you don't feel emotion, you might not be able then to feel close to someone. And so it starts to impact how close you feel to people in your life, which is some of what John's talking about in the relationships that develop problems when people are readjusting. Things are different when someone's distant and doesn't trust and feels like they need to emotionally withdraw from a relationship, whether it's family relationships or children or spousal.
Have you found, and I don't know if this is, I don't want to get into a therapy session here, but that many veterans are a little hesitant to form really close relationships or friendships with people when they get out of the service, or that, you know, that that's something that they have to work through?
Yeah, I think, you know, the sudden loss or the threat of a sudden loss of people that you care about, I think Shakespeare wrote about it in Henry V, and it was used in Band of Brothers. This idea of the bond, he who is bled with me is my brother.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quoting that exactly, but that's the gist. Where you develop this very intense bond, and people might be killed. And they might not have been killed, but the threat was there. And when then coming back, the idea of being close to other people presents with the reality that those people may die. Suddenly, unexpectedly be taken away. And I think that sometimes can be a form of avoidance where people shut down emotionally because the cost of losing someone or the fear of losing someone is pretty intense for someone who has experienced that.
Yeah, it's just too painful to want to go through with that. I want to come back over and talk to you, Mary Grace, about how you get these people to come in. How do you go out and find these veterans and get them to come to the VA? Because I know that some of them are very hesitant. They've heard horror stories. They don't want, somebody has given them drugs to, you know, just put them to sleep, and they don't want to ever do that again. So they're hesitant to come in. How do we get them to come to you?
I feel like there's so many ways, but I already talked briefly about the college outreach program. So that's one way in which we really feel like having a case manager, Brittany Powers, who you mentioned earlier, right on the campus to say, I know you're here and you're taking classes, but have you thought about VA care? What's going on with you? Can I help you with maybe resources in areas that maybe you're struggling with in your life, like finances or housing? Are you familiar with your benefits? Can I just give you information about that? Can I get you enrolled in VA care and get you an appointment to see a doctor or mental health? So really having somebody out there where the veteran is on a day-to-day basis really can make a big difference because they're connecting in a way that they're not actually having to walk into the hospital to make that connection.
Right. Yeah, we're always we are always encouraging people, whether you need VA care or don't need VA care, at least go get your name on a, you know, get your card.
Yes.
And because you never know when you might need it. And there is care being provided, not just mental health care, but there is care that is provided to you absolutely free just for being a veteran.
Yes.
And we always want to encourage people to take advantage of that situation.
Especially our returning combat veterans, because they've got, there's a 5-year time period in which we can get them in and have them be seen for any deployment related condition. And it's a really important thing to get them into care just so that they can get engaged. And the hard part, I think, sometimes with our returning veteran population is that they're so busy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got families and they've got school, college, and they've got work and they've got things that they're doing. And so that can be a real challenge, is trying to reach them where they are and say, have you thought about health care? Have you thought about coming in to talk to somebody either for physical healthcare or mental health care?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why our college outreach program is just such an important component, because we're trying to go out where we know they're busy and trying to get them where they are. So that's one aspect. There's a whole bunch of ways. One other thing I want to mention about the college outreach is that we actually just started doing called telehealth. And so at Bowling Green University, we actually are doing mental health care right at the university where the veteran is logging into a secure line on a computer, and they're meeting with a therapist at the Ann Arbor VA and doing mental health evaluations right at the school. So they never actually have to even leave the campus and enter into the hospital to get mental health care, which is pretty incredible.
Well, the technology is good for something.
Yeah.
Sounds like. I think that would be kind of amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the whole idea. I'm going back to you real quick, Dr. Smith. Have you found that because these veterans, I was trying to think of a question that had to do with the technical part of it, was the ability to stay in communication with your spouses, your friends and stuff while you're in theater, was that more helpful or more harmful, do you think? I mean, I know it's a very broad question, but...
Yeah, it's a broad question. I've actually heard it talked about at different... conferences that I've been at. MSPAN had a conference, which is Mary Grace can speak to that, but I can say that the ability to be connected has changed over time. So if you're looking at earlier, when my sister was in Iraq early on, my ability to talk to her was limited to postcards.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't speak with her. When my brother went to Afghanistan in 2010 and then again in 2012, I was able to speak with him very frequently. And I think the thing that they've looked at or talked about is the ability to be connected at home brings in a lot of the potential stress of the home life and the home relationship in both directions. I think both for veterans who are thinking about what their significant other or their children or their parents, and getting information about problems in school or relationships or affairs or things like that, coming towards the veteran, or I would say the service member at that point, but also for the families who might be talking with someone on a Skype call when the fog goes dark because someone in the area has been killed and they want to keep the communication shut down so that the family can be notified. So I think that it can be stressful both ways. It's different.
I was going to say, it has to be so much different. I mean, it would take 10 days for our letters to go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
That was 10 days one way.
Yeah. that's true, 10 days one way. And, you know, we could make a phone call on a Mars station or whatever it is, and nobody ever figured out how to do that, so it didn't work out too well. But I was thinking of that the everyday activities at home are going to start interfering with your mental state there, because, as you mentioned, there could be financial problems or your kids having problems in school and things like that. You don't have time to think about it. And then meanwhile, you're sitting there talking on Skype and you go, oh, excuse me, we got to go. I got to go out on patrol now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think the stress levels on both ends of that would be pretty traumatic.
Yeah, and I think what John was saying about the family experiencing stress and needing to be a part of the patient, or I say, you know, the veteran's care is really important. When I'm working with veterans individually, I'm talking with them about the ways in which they may want to change or develop the relationships that they have with their family. And as a clinician with the VA, I know that both our medication providers, our psychiatrists, our nurse practitioner, our case managers, social workers, psychologists, bring family members in to discuss if the veteran asks for that, because we're providing care for the veteran as the person that we have that relationship with.
Right.
But we want them to be successful in care, and the support of family members actually allows veterans to be much more successful in their treatment because they have that support.
I think that the whole idea of the support system is really what is important, whether it's your family or friends or it's organizations or whoever it is, some place that you can go and somebody is not judgmental and is just going to listen to you. I mean, that was one of the main issues I thought that I had when I got home is nobody cared. And it's just that, you know, I think if we can help, you know, as John was pointing out earlier, if we can help one veteran or one family or one marriage to survive by just letting them know that we care about them, I think that that's really important. It's kind of giving my segue back to you about the suicide prevention. We, you know, statistically, 22 veterans are committing suicide on a daily basis, which is totally unacceptable. And what is the VA trying to do to get out there?
We do. We have a lot of outreach efforts. So we do multiple outreach efforts a month, just trying to educate veterans about things like the crisis line, letting them know what resources are available if they are feeling distressed or upset and want to reach out. The Veterans Crisis Line is a wonderful resource for veterans. It's a 24-hour phone line that's staffed by a therapist, a licensed clinician, and the veteran can pick up the phone at any time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and say, either I'm just having a really bad day and I'm feeling really upset, all the way up to I'm feeling like killing myself and I'm reaching out. And so getting that information out there, getting that phone number out there, letting people know that that resource is there, but also letting people know that the VA is there. What we know statistically is that veterans who are engaged in VA care are less likely to commit suicide than veterans who are not engaged in VA care. And so one of the things that's really important to us is trying to reach out to veteran population and say, are you engaged? How can we help you get engaged? Can we get you registered? And we also, when we know that there's a veteran who is engaged in our care who becomes at an increased risk of suicide, we then increase our outreach efforts to those veterans specifically. And so we enhance their care. We start calling them if they miss an appointment. We call them to remind them of their appointments. We keep track of them much more closely and try to really kind of get a wraparound approach to their care to say, we're here and we're reaching out to you. We want to make sure that everything is okay, but also that you're coming in for your appointment so that you can kind of shift.
Right. I'm trying to get the line here. It is. It's a Veterans Crisis Line for anybody out there. You know, get your pen out and write this down. It's 1-800-273-8255. 800-273-8255. So either you're a veteran or you're a family friend or anything like that, line is available to you to help you out. And especially if you're feeling like, you know, that you're at wit's end, please, please call that number.
Dale, I'm glad you just brought that up. Sorry to interject, but family and caregivers are important aspect to safety at times. And so it's okay completely for a caregiver or family member or friend to call and say, I'm concerned about this person, and the Veterans Crisis Line will respond to that.
It's the website, if you're looking for that, is veteranscrisisline.net, and it's got all kinds of information, just as you do. If how do we get started getting into the VA system? And I know that that's, you know, those of us that are here, we all know that. But let's suppose we've got a 20-year-old Afghan veteran that's sitting over in Canton, Michigan, and he's going, I don't know, I need some help here. What am I going to do? How do I get started?
There's a bunch of ways. So, well, e-benefits is a great one. So e-benefits, you can register for healthcare, you can register for your benefits right on, right kind of all in one-stop shopping. There certainly are paper registration forms that you can come into the hospital and pick up a registration form and get registered for the hospital. And the returning veteran program, if you call the Ann Arbor VA and hit zero to talk to the operator and ask to talk to anybody in the returning veteran program, we are happy to help to get you engaged. We'll get you registered. We'll get you your primary care appointments, mental health care appointments, if that's indicated or something you're interested in, and we'll be there to try to engage you in that process and walk you through it. That's really why we're there.
Well, it sounds like you guys are doing a great job over there, and I'm very excited to have our audience know what is happening here locally, and I'm sure that there are other VAs out there that are doing the same thing, and some that have extra money that might be even doing more, as I was hearing earlier about the grants. I mentioned earlier about the medication that they sometimes use in various places for treatment of PTSD and things. I have to ask you, is that something that you use as an option, or is it something that you do as a last resort?
It's an option based off of what the veteran preference is. So if a veteran comes into the PTSD clinic and says, I do not want to do any medication, then no one is going to have them be on medication.
I have to remind everybody, this is a voluntary thing. You know, nobody's putting you into this program.
Nope.
You're in there on your own volition.
Absolutely. And when you come in, if a veteran says, after I describe the types of treatment that we do in the PTSD clinic, and they say, no, I really just want to do anger management. I just want to work on my anger. I don't really want to work on my PTSD symptoms. I want to just focus on that right now, or I really want to focus on my depression, then I'm going to make sure that they get into the best treatment for what they're asking for. Mm-hmm. Or if they say that they really just want to be in a support group with other veterans, I might talk about having a referral to the vet center if they have a vet center close to them. So we're really going to work on what they want to work on. And if they say no meds, then that's fine. I would say about a third of the patients that come in choose medication only, about a third choose medication and therapy, and about a third choose therapy alone. So it's kind of broken up.
I didn't know that.
That's always
good to learn.
Yep.
Do you find that the veterans prefer one-on-one, or do they like working in a group type situation?
Yeah, people have individual differences on that. There are some veterans who come in and say, I really want to work one-on-one, and there are some veterans who come in and say, I really just want to do something in a group and be around other veterans. We also have a peer support group. We have a vet council. I mean, there's a lot of things at the VA that allow veterans to be involved that may not necessarily be mental health care, but there are ways that they can find support or be engaged. But it's really based on their preference. So we have both prolonged exposure therapy and cognitive processing therapy in group or individual. And so we just talk with them about what they want.
Okay. So let's see, what else I want to say. John, do you have anything you want to add?
It's a buddy-to-buddy program. Are you familiar with the buddy-to-buddy program? Is that also part of your mentor group therapy or part of the group therapy? Or how does that work into what you're doing?
It's definitely part of what we have available. We don't have it in the group therapy, but if a veteran wants to get involved with that, we can make referrals for that. We have a peer support specialist who does run some groups at the VA, so that's another option if veterans wanted to be involved in a group that was more veteran providing care for veterans.
We're dealing with OIF, OEF veterans. Do you still have some Vietnam veterans still coming in for treatment?
Absolutely.
Initial treatment for post-traumatic stress? That's very interesting.
Yep, absolutely. That have never sought care before, and they're coming in now.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
It doesn't surprise me.
That we're
showing up and that it's available to everybody. I want to thank everybody for being on Veterans Radio. We've got less than a minute to go. So, unfortunately, I have to say thank you both very much for being on the program. John Kinzinger with Operation Never Forgotten. Go check out that website. Go to the VA if you need to. If you're in the Ann Arbor area, I think it sounds to me like we've got some really great care going on at our Ann Arbor VA. And I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to make sure that you tune in next week on Veterans Radio. And until next week, you are dismissed.